On Good Friday, we have the habit of watching The Passion of the Christ with the high school youth group. In the middle of the movie, I see my phone light up. It's Ryan Bethay, the host of The Exorcist Files. But he wasn't inviting me onto The Exorcist Files. He was inviting me onto another program that he was co-hosting.
Gabe, my brother, I think you'd be an awesome guest. We want to do a topic on spiritual warfare. It is a Protestant show, but we really want to include Catholic brothers and sisters and just talk about all things spiritual warfare. And I thought you'd be amazing.
A Protestant program on a Protestant television network. I believed that this was God's will, and so I told him, yes, 100%. But the moment I got off the phone, I felt an overwhelming weight, a burden on my shoulders that did not go away, that I wrestled with all the way to Washington, D.C., where the filming took place. So he invited me on Good Friday, Easter Wednesday. I'm traveling to D.C. We're filming on Easter Thursday, so there's not a lot of time. I love the Virgin Mary. I view the Virgin Mary as God's great gift to humanity for making us into Christ. And I know that if we're going to discuss spiritual warfare, I'm going to share my testimony, and the Virgin Mary is at the heart of my testimony. And I don't want to go on another program and fight. So I have this burden of speaking about Our Lady in such a way that I'm not going to turn this into a spectacle. And this is the opportunity for me to help our Protestant brothers and sisters to see Mary as their mother. So I wanted to do that, and I wasn't getting any clarity in prayer about how to go about this. I arrive in Washington, D.C. about 5 or 6 p.m., and I have a scheduled dinner with Ryan at 7 p.m. At the restaurant, I shared with him, I was like, dude, my testimony is 100% Marian. I don't want to get on your program and fight, but I'm not going to deny who I am. And so I was like, just trying to ask questions, what angle can I take? I brought up the apologetic stuff, the stuff that Catholics are very proud of, you know, that Mary's the new Eve, that Mary's the queen of heaven and earth, she's the Gibira, that she's maximally full of grace. And all the scripture I was bringing up, Ryan had heard it before, and he said, it's just not effective. I don't think it's going to go over well. So I made the resolution, all right, I'll keep praying. And then he said, you know, you're really going to like my co-host, Abby. She's not confrontational. She's very open. She's a very discerning woman who's docile to the Holy Spirit. She is genuinely holy. So all of this is going through my mind the night before the filming. The next morning comes, Thursday morning. And this is really, in my opinion, a miracle of divine providence. So I have the habit of daily mass, daily adoration, especially when I have a major missionary activity. So I needed to find a church that was close to the Museum of the Bible, where this program was being filmed, close enough to the Museum of the Bible that I could go to mass and make a holy hour and not be rushed to get to the set. And the closest church to the Museum of the Bible is St. Dominic Catholic Church. It is literally a 4-minute walk to the place that we are going to do our filming. After Mass, I am kneeling there before a statue of St. Dominic, and I'm saying, Dominic, you're the greatest preacher in the history of Catholicism. And here I have the opportunity to share the love of the Virgin Mary with Protestants all over the world. Please, I'm begging you, intercede for me. And then he answered my prayer. I looked over my right shoulder, saw the stained glass, and immediately I understood what I was being called to do. Immediately, I understood why Our Lady had not given me an answer to how I would proclaim her greatness, her glory, her love, her powerful intercession. in this stained glass window was Saint Dominic preaching to the Albigensians. He was trying to convert Albigensians who had ideas that were contrary to the Catholic faith. He tried to convert them with apologetics. He tried to convert them with sacred scriptures. He tried to convert them with preaching. He tried these methods and he did not succeed. And the Blessed Mother said, "My son, this is not the way to reach these people." Our Lady says to Dominic, "Preach my rosary. You want to convert sinners? Preach my rosary. You want to convert people who have ideas that are contrary to Catholicism? Promote the Holy Rosary." And this is an important insight, a Latin axiom, lex orandi, lex credendi, lex vivendi. The law of prayer is the law of belief, is the law of life. You change the way somebody prays, that impacts what they believe, and what they believe then will dictate how they live. Don't go in there guns a-blazing with scriptures that we could be fighting all day over. They will cause tribalism. Share your experience and the promises of the rosary act as an incentive for somebody to try it. I continued to pray, "Okay, Blessed Mother." Then I had a deep conviction interiorly. Talk to the heart of Abby Robertson. She is truly a very discerning woman. And if you can speak truth with love to her, she is far more receptive than you could imagine. And so I had apparently had a demon of lust with me for probably the majority of my life that never manifested because I wasn't getting any closer to God. He was letting me play church, but he did not want me to have a real relationship. Because what people mistake about the rosary is that it's first and foremost a walk through the life of Christ. It's an immersion in the early stages of Christ's life, his public ministry, his crucifixion, where you're like spending time there. And yeah, you're saying words, but the main important thing is that daily you're coming back to Jesus. And the devil did not want that. And so I shared with them my testimony, how I was addicted to pornography, how I overcame that addiction by the power of the Holy Rosary. And this, of course, was exactly what Abby grabbed onto.
I have a question on that because, you know, there are a lot of studies. We've talked about this on other podcasts just about how rampant pornography addiction is, particularly amongst Christians.
Yes.
Obviously, there's some element of the demonic in there.
Yes. Obviously, everything's not just spiritual. There is a natural dimension. You have to build virtue. You have to avoid near occasions of temptation. So yeah, no, liberation, no problem.
So what, I'm just curious, because if there's someone who's not Catholic listening familiar, so would you say kind of the tangible step to break this pornography addiction is praying the rosary, or what would you recommend?
I have never seen a case where it doesn't work. Wow. I've never seen a case where it doesn't work. You either give up the sin or you give up the rosary.
Before, because I know I can feel some of the listeners being like, what are they doing?
Yeah, this
here?
Is
like,
insanity.
But help us maybe, what is the rosary in general? And like, where did it come from?
Yes. When we pray the rosary, we're actually doing two things. So the Our Fathers and the Hail Marys are 100% from sacred scripture. It's the Lord's Prayer and the angelic salutation. And so you're saying the scripture, that's like a song, a scripture song that stirs up the whirlwind of the Holy Spirit and allows you to enter into the Gospels, which is the most fruitful place to meet Christ. The goal of it is to visualize the various aspects of the life of Christ as if you're present. And so a real relationship with Jesus is formed and lives are changed and he sets captives free and the demon hates the Gospels.
So a lot of times Protestants kind of bristle when we talk about the intercession of the saints. But my experience is that when a Protestant loses a loved one, they will often say things like, "I know my granddad is watching down from heaven. I know my mom is like my guardian angel. She's watching over me. She's praying for me. I know it. I can feel it." And this is exactly what Abby expressed.
You know, I lost my mom a year and a half ago, and I've been reading a book on heaven, which just pulls everything from scripture. Randy Alcorn wrote it. It's amazing. It talks about the saints in heaven praying for us and how people, especially, you know, our prayer warriors here on earth, people who've gone before us, are still aware of what's happening down here and still praying for us. And he goes as far as say, you know, they might even be praying more because they have more time to pray in heaven. When I've been in hard times, I have just asked my mom, I'm like, Mom, I need you to pray for me right now. Yeah. I believe she hears that. And I'm by no means praying to her.
Right.
And this is a conversation I've had with a couple of my friends who have also lost loved ones. But I do. She prayed for me my entire life. And I totally believe she still is praying Amen. For me.
But there's more than this. There's way more than this. So Ryan had mentioned that Abby was a very docile woman, very holy and open to the Spirit of God. So she surprised me when she began talking about...
All right. So because I have two Catholics sure. in front of me who know a thing or two about spiritual warfare, I'm going to ask a little advice sure. for a friend here. So let's just say someone I know is starting a podcast on miracles. And every time before we film, spoiler alert, it's me, the enemy, there has been a very specific health thing that he hits me with. The first year my husband and I were married, I was plagued with it about every 3 months. I just really started praying and rebuking and in the name of Jesus declaring healing. And overnight, I was healed supernaturally, never had this issue for a couple yes. years until we started filming this podcast. And it's something where the night before we were filming, it was 3 a.m. and I was like, Lord, if there's not divine intervention, I can't film tomorrow, because even if I get antibiotics, they will not kick in and I physically will not be able to be there. And if you don't heal me once again, I don't know what to do. And sure enough, after 2 hours, I was finally able to fall asleep and I woke up and I was fine. But it's now happened twice ahead of us filming Heaven Meets Earth. What do I do? And how do I just get rid of this once and for all and just stop this attack?
So I mentioned earlier that I had a diabolical obsession, and that is when the devil impacts your mind. But there's something called the diabolical oppression, where he can aggravate illnesses. And the way you can tell that is if it goes away when you pray, for example, or if it comes whenever you're in ministry. So if you're in ministry and every time a retreat comes around, you start getting nauseous and you have all sorts of health issues, that's a good sign that it's a spiritual problem. So what I would recommend is to pray the rosary. Try praying the rosary just for 7 days or 8 days, kind of like a medicine. But what that will do in case it doesn't go away, and this is to Father's point, is that the goal of Mary, the goal of the spiritual life, is to be united to Christ. And when you spend time meditating upon him, especially if this is a cross that he doesn't take away, and you spend time in your imagination walking with Jesus, and you're like, Lord, take this from me, take this from me, take this from me. And you look into his eyes and he says, carry it with me, be more like me. Enter into the mystery of salvation. In the spiritual life, there is no life unless somebody dies. And often that is the person who's delivering the message. And Jesus is the perfect example. So he might be inviting you into a deeper holiness. We grow more in the spiritual life in times of desolation, unfortunately.
That's right.
If you have a great week, you don't make much progress. But if you're going through some suffering, you find yourself have made the progress of a season in a week. So I don't know. We don't know. Pray for healing. I would recommend this, because if it is diabolical, he just can't stand those words of the incarnation. He can't stand the life of Christ constantly. If he sees this is only making her go to Jesus more, then I got to back off and try something else.
I was up all night praying. So
there you go.
Follow-up question. Yeah. You pack another one of those things.
A rosary? Yeah. I have one for you. I brought you one.
All right. Hallelujah.
And I have one that's perfect for your personality. It's absolutely beautiful. It's made out of beautiful little red stones.
Aww, perfect.
What a beautiful rosary.
It's the most beautiful. One might even say it's the best.
If you want to watch this interview, truly, truly, it is a beautiful interview. I recommend you go and watch this interview, and you will see the beauty of the Holy Spirit unfolding truths in our lives. Beautiful interview. But please, if you're going to leave a comment of support. Thank you so much for having Gabriel and Father Barton on your program. Thank you so much for this beautiful dialogue. I wish all Christian conversations could happen like this. I believe in the depths of my soul that seeds were planted on that program that are bearing fruit to this day and will for all of eternity. Because when you change the way a person prays, you subtly and subconsciously change what they believe, and then you change how they live. Let's conclude in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, Son of the living God, we thank you for the gift of your mother. We ask that you give us your eyes, that we can see her the way that you see her, and give us your heart that we might love her the way that you love her. Blessed Virgin Mary, give us your eyes that we can see Christ the way that you see him. And give us your heart that we can love him the way that you love him. And we ask by your powerful intercession to obtain for us the grace to pray the rosary faithfully. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. God love you. And we will see you very soon.